Or in addition to pointing out just how dirty and dangerous those extractive processes are, it sounds like that's what you're talking about as well, a whole different vision.
Yeah, we need a different narrative. And it's time that we join forces and that environmental organizations that have actually supported natural gas as a bridge fuel take another look at it and begin doing the hard work of organizing to create a different narrative and, in fact, different policies on energy. We need to keep fossil fuels in the ground. We need strong renewable portfolio standards in states that don't allow combustion or other dirty technologies. And we need to have an honest discussion and grassroots organizing around what needs to be done, both in banning fracking. We think that there's an urgent case to be made to ban fracking and other extreme types of conventional energy, and to start turning to energy efficiency and a real renewable future. I think this study just points out how bankrupt the Obama administration has been on these sets of issues, and it's really time to start holding our elected officials of both parties responsible for their positions.
We've been speaking with Winona Halder of Food and Water Watch. You can find them online at foodandwaterwatch.org. Winona Halder, thank you very much for joining us this week on Counterspin.
Thanks so much.
And that's it for Counterspin for this week. The show is engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
The time is 6 o'clock. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Up next, Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs. Tonight, we're having a conversation with Adolph Evans on passion to purpose.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to be the sponsor of the 28th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, taking place from July 2nd through the 5th at Waterfront Park in Portland. The Blues Festival includes cruises like the Blue Bayou Cruise, the Rock the Boat Dance Cruise, Drifting Blues Cruise, and the Sail on Sister Cruise, as well as after-hour performances featuring Galactic, Charmaine Neville, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, and the Paladins. Again, that's the 28th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, Thursday, July 2nd through Sunday, July 5th at the Waterfront Park in Portland. For more information, go to kboo.fm/Waterfront Blues Festival 2015.
Attention KBOO members and listeners. The KBOO Foundation is seeking to fill 4 upcoming vacancies on the Board of Directors. Terms run 3 years, beginning on October 1st. The nomination packet, due July 11th, is posted on the KBOO website and paper copies are available at the station. Candidates must submit the completed nomination packet via email to kboocommunity@gmail.com or mail or drop off the completed nomination packet, care of Timothy Welp, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Incomplete forms will not be considered as fulfilling the statement of interest requirement by the KBOO bylaws. Packets are due by Saturday, July 11th. The candidate statements submitted as part of the nomination packet will be posted to KBOO's website, and candidates will be expected to participate in an interview for broadcast and a Q&A session at the annual meeting. For more information, please contact the nominating committee at kboocommunity@gmail.com.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market. From our hands to yours. Celebrating 42 years of American arts and crafts, freshly prepared foods with an international flavor, and local music every Saturday and Sunday through Christmas Eve. Local artisans, international food, live music. PortlandSaturdayMarket.com.
At the dawn of the day. All the darkened kittens, the Millar's gray, are touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses.
Welcome to Bread and Roses, feminist news and public affairs on the KBOO airwaves since 1978, the longest-running feminist radio program in the country. Connect with us on the KBOO website. Look for us, kboo.fm/breadandroses. There you can access podcasts, listen to our past shows, also share feedback or show ideas if you have any. And of course, we are on Facebook. Find us as KBOO Bread and Roses. Bread and Roses is shared among a collective of women-identified radio activists. And if you are interested in joining us as producers, host, or engineer, no experience necessary, please contact KBOO Volunteer Coordinator, Ani Haynes. Her email is volunteer@kboo.org. You can also call her 503-231-8032. Her extension is 213. Well, I'm one of your hosts this week, Delphine Crescenzo.
And I'm Adrienne Livingston, and our engineer tonight with us is Leanne Kranz. Tonight on Bread and Roses, we have a conversation with Adolph Evans about exploring our passions and pursuing our dreams to live a life of purpose where the ride is more important than the destination. We will be joined by Adolph in a few minutes, but first, I want you to know today is Juneteenth. Juneteenth is the oldest known celebration commemorating the ending of slavery in the United States. Dating back to 1865, it was on June 19th that the Union soldiers, led by Major General Gordon Granger, landed at Galveston, Texas, with news that the war had ended and that the enslaved were now free. Here's a quote from Tom Feelings of the National Juneteenth Registry. But if this part of our history could be told in such a way that those chains of the past, those shackles that physically bound us together against our wills, could, in the telling, become spiritual links that willingly bind us together now and into the future, then that painful middle passage could become, ironically, a positive connecting line to all of us, whether living inside or outside the continent of Africa. The passage above here truly captures the spirit of Juneteenth and the mission of Juneteenth. Juneteenth is a day of reflection, a day of renewal, a pride-filled day. It is a moment in time taken to appreciate the African-American experience. It is inclusive of all races, ethnicities, and nationalities, as nothing is more comforting than the hand of a friend. Juneteenth serves symbolically and in reality as a reference point from which to measure and appreciate the progress and contributions made by African Americans to this society. Juneteenth is a day on which honor and respect is paid for the sufferings of slavery. It is a day on which we acknowledge the evils of slavery and its aftermath. On Juneteenth, we talk about our history and realize because of it, there will forever be a bond between us. On Juneteenth, we think about the moment in time when the enslaved in Galveston, Texas, received word of their freedom. We imagine the depth of their emotions, their jubilant dance, and fear of the unknown. Juneteenth is a day that we commit to each other, the needed support as family, friends, and coworkers. It is a day we build coalitions that enhance African American economics and communities. On Juneteenth, we come together, young and old, to listen, to learn, to refresh, to the drive to achieve. It is a day where we take one step closer together to better utilize the energy wasted on racism. Juneteenth is a day that we pray for peace and liberty for all. You can learn more at Juneteenth.com.
Thank you, Adrienne. Well, so tonight on Bread and Roses, we welcome Evans to the studio for a conversation about exploring our passions and pursuing our dreams. Adolf has been writing features and inspiring articles for over 30 years. An avid reader of self-improvement and historical materials, he enjoys speaking and communicating his learning from them. As an engaging conversationalist, networking and meeting people is one of his passions. Because of his analytical mind, he spends his daytime as a senior analyst in the gas industry. In his spare time, Adolf enjoys cooking and spending quality time with family and friends. Another one of his compelled work is fundraising for nonprofits. Passion to Purpose has been a great ride in recent times of pursuing passionate, inspiring writings, he says.
Adolf, welcome to Bread and Roses.
Thank you, Adrian, Delphine. I appreciate you being here and the opportunity to speak, especially on Juneteenth, when you talk about freedom. And it's a good opportunity to talk about opening up your freedom and your mind and your passions and the courage to pursue your dreams and fulfill a destiny that you have inside of you or that may live outside of you.
Wonderful. I really appreciate you being here with us tonight. Later in the show, Adolf will be answering your questions live. We will give you the phone number to call in. I'll give it to you in advance, but we will definitely invite you at a later time to call in. That number is 503-231-8187. So we're going to get started in learning more about Adolf and this. What is this passion to purpose? What is it and how do we get there? So Adolf, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, again, as Delphine said, again, I enjoy meeting people. I love engaging with people. I love learning. I love asking questions. I love inquiring. I love history. I love talking and engaging, as I said. And the key thing about it is allowing for people to express themselves and to figure out who they are, you know, where they're going, what they're comfortable with, the confidence and courage, as I said, to be all that you can be and pursue your passions. And I wrote something years ago about being the best that you can be. And so that kind of evolved into Passions to Purpose.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Well, how did you get interested in this topic, Passion to Purpose? Why and how?
About 4 years ago, again, my desire was to write a book. And as I approached that, I just interviewed a lot of folks. And a lot of folks will tell me that, again, I do this, but I really would like to do this. I'm good at this, but I'm more passionate about this. And that is me as well. I mean, I'm passionate about, again, communicating and engaging and writing, but I'm good at analytical work. I'm good at math and numbers. And so ultimately, my desire is for more and more people, especially young people. I mean, if I had been able to have the courage to do this 30 years ago when I left high school, I'd be a lot further along in my writings, a lot further along in my engagement, a lot further along in inspiring through conversations and connections. So that's what inspired me, and that's what led me onto this particular topic, as I said, over the last 4 years.
Nice.
And so our culture is very much one that emphasizes, think about your goal, think about your dreams, and work really hard to get there, and very little emphasis is put on the process. You, on the contrary, you said it's all about enjoying the ride. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, the ride, it's like the analogy I use, it's like a roller coaster ride. You go to the roller coaster ride, you don't go there to be at the end of the ride. You don't go there to be in the line, which sometimes can be long to get to the ride. You enjoy the ride. The ride is ups and downs, twists and turns, curves, highs and lows.
And
that's
loops.
The key. And loops. And the loops and loops and the stomach and all that. That's the fun part about it. Mm-hmm. And so once it's over, it's over. So you either go back and get in line again, or you go back and say, well, okay, we had that, done that, check that off, or what have you. So that's why I say enjoy the ride, because that's going to take you to places and connect you with people that you would not have seen or met. And that's the key. And that's the fun part of our life, and it's engaging and learning from people, learning from experiences, learning from opportunities. And that's what I talk about.
I like how you liken it to a roller coaster ride, because many times, at least this has happened for me, especially when you're approaching it for the very first time, you do not know what to expect. You get on that ride and you are scared out of your mind. And even before you get on, you're like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And sometimes wanting to turn back. But when you're on there, you're afraid. But then there are times where you're like, okay, I can handle it. You're laughing, you're screaming, etc. The ride ends And even though you had so much fear the first time getting on it, you get off and say, I want to do it again. I want to do it again. So this could be the same, I think, when people look at exploring and getting out and fulfilling those areas where, yes, that's my goal, that's my passion, but how do I do it? How do I get there? If you're trying to make money from it, or even not, it's just the fear that sometimes can hold you back. So I really do like how you liken it to a roller coaster. You mentioned to me in a different conversation before about writing. How did you first learn that you even like to write? I remember you saying something about an individual. So,
well, I wrote in high school. I wrote for the paper in high school, and I enjoyed that. And then I got out of high school, and I stopped writing. And probably 15 years ago, early 2000s, I picked up the pen again and started writing again. And I just wrote about me and thoughts or what have you. And then I started interviewing people. And then that's when it really, really took to another level and realized the key that I enjoyed the interviewing process. I enjoyed asking the questions. I record all my interviews on audio and I listen to them over and over again. And so that's when I got back into the writing. Again, as I said, I picked the pen back up and then it took off from there. And I had a website for a while and I wrote articles on a website. And then now I have written articles for magazines, ones at Austin, Ujima Magazine. I write for them on a regular basis. So I just enjoy writing because I enjoy people in the conversations.
I'm going to have to get you into radio.
Well, I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking, K-Boo.
You said I'm recording and I'm like interviewing.
Perhaps.
I believe so.
Perhaps.
And for me, the question around the enjoying the ride also, the connection with your writing, your passion for writing is so important, because I feel that on a daily basis, we are asked to just focus on, getting the money that will get us our dream, maybe. And so and maybe the disconnect with writing was also based on that, based on having to follow that daily routine that does not at all emphasizes enjoying the process of the everyday routine, right? Can you speak a little bit about that?
I would agree. And in 2004, I had what I call a desert experience. Again, I wasn't fulfilled. I wasn't enjoying my life to the degree that I was doing and working in my passions. As I said, the work I do now in the utility business, I was doing it then as well. And so I can do that. And as I talk to young people about it, it's what you're good at and what you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. And they can run parallel to each other for a while. I never tell people to quit their day job or what have you. But at some point, they might merge into the same vocation. One quote I wrote years ago was, that's the ultimate passion and purpose, is when what you like and what you do and what you're good at, when they merge into the same vocation. That's the ultimate. But they don't have to be that. You still get enjoyment over here. I was speaking to someone earlier today, and it doesn't always equate to money. It's just a fulfillment, an inner being fulfilled passion that brings life to you, brings light to you. And that's and that's what writing and interviewing has done to me over the last 11 years now. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Well, I know in our society too, kind of tagging along that questioning, is our society is focused on productivity and also being able to make a living. Sometimes, you look at families that of four and they don't even necessarily make a living wage, but yet they too have passions. Everyone has passions. It could be hard to explore creativity that we have and our passions. So within your writing, who is your audience and how do you suggest people really explore and discover what those passions are sometimes when they have obstacles in their way?
Well, my audience is everyone, to be honest with you. And how do you explore those options? Again, it's what's the internal drive? That's passions. Passions, many definitions of passions, but for me, it's the internal drive that allows for a person to feel like they're being a part of something, they're giving out to the world. How do I give out creatively? The way I do that is writing. The way that I do that is engaging, meeting people, conversating with people. And as I said, I can do that and still work, still make a living, whether it's labor intensive, whether it's my mind intensive as well on different subject or topic. But how does a person give out? Now lately, first they were talking about STEM and now they've enhanced it to be STEAM. Obviously, the arts piece is the key. And I believe everyone has some creative juices inside of them yearning to be released. And that's my definition of passion, mm-hmm. is that creative juice inside of you that's yearning to be released.
Yes,
creative
and for those
I'm writing this down.
Nice. And for those listeners that are thinking, what does STEM and STEAM mean? STEM, especially in the education system, is really trying to encourage students to get into the science, technology, engineering, and math fields. But adding that A, making it STEAM, it adds the arts to it as well. So we are really trying to engage our youth in looking and exploring multiple different ways and areas that they can really get engaged in.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with the creativity piece. I feel that the society in which we live is very controlling and very centered into making sure everything looks neat. Even if you look at lawns mm-hmm. in front of yards, that's the one thing that really, you know, grinds my gear. It's like it's perfection everywhere. People are cutting, the ledges and everything, so it fits so perfectly. Where is the room for creativity in that, right? I really feel, you know, that craving coming from so many places. Also, people don't even know that they are creative because they've never really explored that.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the challenges that come. For me, it's like the fear, right? Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit, Adrian mm-hmm. mentioned, before you get onto the ride, mm-hmm. you know, you have the fear. Oh my God, there's this loop. I don't know if I can do it. So talk a little bit about the role of fear in really hindering our success mm-hmm. at times.
Yeah, fear is a key component to achieving success. It can either paralyze, cripple, or mobilize a person. And a paralysis causes us not to move. You know, crippling allows us to get part of the way and then we stop. And then whereas mobilization grants us a total victory in that, you know, fear, if it paralyzes a person, you know, he or she, they, you know, see the fear or imagine the fear and they just stop and don't even get started. Mm-hmm. You know, the crippling piece is where, you know, you take a step and you look at the fear, you take a step, you concentrate on the fear. So you really don't get far along down the field, if you will. Whereas immobilization, I look at it like fear can be like a trampoline. Mm. If you turn your back on it, use it as a projectile, you know, it's giving off a lot of energy, obviously. So you turn it, use that energy to project you out into wherever you want to go and have the courage to do that. You know, obviously courage has to come into play, but you can use it as a projectile. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say it can be a mobilization piece where it'll allow for a person, he or she, them, to go really where they thought they couldn't go before.
Very nice. So if you are just tuning in, you are listening to KBOO Portland, and we are having a conversation with Adolph Evans on passion to purpose. I really like that image. And so those listeners that are out there, if you have fear that's holding you back, just take every fear and put that on a trampoline and start jumping so that it's propelling you to what you really truly desire to go and to be. Adolph, what are some of the challenges or other challenges besides fear that prevent us from pursuing our dreams or even of dreaming?
Well, obviously you got naysayers and you have, you know, family members, you know, they'll tell you that you can't do that. And I wrote a quote years ago. It says, you know, don't be a prisoner in your own home by cuffing your talents so that others will feel safe in theirs. You know, and that's pretty much what it is. I mean, don't be a prisoner, because people will say, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. That's, we don't do that. Or, you know, why are you doing that? But you have to push past those things. You have to really, really go for what you believe inside internally and find partners and connectors and mentors. And that will encourage you to do so.
Nice. So talking of mentors, who have been mentors to you?
Well, throughout my life, I had a lot of great teachers growing up. And, you know, obviously my pastors have been mentors here in Portland. And then also I have mentors that I look at from a distance. Nowadays, obviously with social media and all the internet and technology, mm-hmm. we can have mentors that we never even really see. We can follow them. We can listen to them, be inspired by what they write, what they say, and get motivated and be encouraged. Because with technology, it shrunk the world. So we can reach out and feel and touch people who are doing things and who are being courageous and have the courage to do some of the things we thought we never could do as well.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Do you have any names for us of folks that you admire?
Well, yeah. The guy I really like, I read a lot of his books, is Malcolm Gladwell. Really inspiring writer. I love a lot of his writing. John T. Maxwell, I wrote a lot of his writings as well. So I've been listening and reading audio and motivational material since about 86. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like I've been on this journey for a long time.
Nice. So as you are and have inspired others, is there a comment or quote or statement that someone has said, Adolf, blah, 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 to really inspire you, that really stand out to you?
Well, again, it's back to my teachers. I had teachers throughout my life that said, you can do more than what you're doing now. Why not go for this?
Nice.
And that was important to me. They encouraged me throughout the time I was in school.
Mm-hmm. What did you feel that you were not going for it? You know, there's the fear sometimes also.
This fear, and it's also complacency, and it's also culture. You know, you say, you know, I don't see anyone like me doing this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's maybe not for me. Mm-hmm. However, they told me, say, hey, you can do that. Why not? Why not me? And so that's what a lot of it as well. You know, when you don't see people that look like you or think like you or maybe even come from the same place as you do, that are out there achieving some of the things that you desire to achieve, then that can kind of hold you back as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, at this time, we are going to take a musical break, and you will listen to I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross.
Should we invite folks to call in as well while we take a break?
Sure.
Okay. The phone number is 503-231-8187. We'll be right back.
Thank you for tuning in with us on KBOO Portland. We actually have a caller. Doug is on the line. Hi, Doug. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I wanted to ask Adolf, I really liked the sandwich story from his CD. Can you explain more about it?
Sure. Thanks, Doug. Well, the sandwich story was I had a dog, my former dog, who passed away for Thanksgiving weekend. I made a sandwich. And it was the best sandwich I ever made that I never had, because I made it, and it was back in the day when we didn't have cell phones, and so the phone rang in the kitchen. So I got up to go answer the phone, and I made the sandwich with turkey, with leftover turkey and all that, dressing or whatever, a glass of wine or whatever to go with it. So I went to answer the phone, and as soon as I picked up the receiver, I realized I left my sandwich on a coffee table. And I put the phone down, and sure enough, I go back, and she's licking her lips. She ate the whole sandwich. She gulped it down. So the analogy I use in my writings with the sandwich is that we are sandwiched in between our ancestors and our descendants. And we have to be the perfect and best sandwich that we can be to be that connector between our ancestors and descendants. So, and I got that from my dog, Lulu, who passed away.
Mm. Very nice. Thanks, Doug, for the question. As you heard, we heard the song I'm Coming Out, and we chose that song because we want the world to know our passions. We want to live it out, so we hope that that encouraged you just listening to that song.
Mm-hmm. This is Brad and Roses, Adrienne and Delphine here. We are with Adolf Evans, who has been coming up with ideas, very concrete steps to support all of us in exploring our passions, really, so we can live a fulfilled life. So the question really for me is around failure.
Okay.
Because lots of things prevent us, but one of the things that really prevents us at time from moving forward is, the remembering of past failures. And also, this culture does not really celebrate failure much. So talk a little bit about failure for us and the importance of successful failures.
Well, I believe failure is important. You have to continue to fail and fail and fail until you get it right. Thomas Edison is an example of that. 10,000 times that he failed before he got the light bulb. And so ultimately, failure...
I don't know the story. Can you tell me?
Well, back in the day, Thomas Edison, who created the light bulb, he failed over 10,000 times until he got it right. The filament that goes in it or what have you. So failing is important. And people don't realize failure is actually a partner of success in a sense. Analogy I used once was about... I don't know if you've seen a cartoon with the wolf and the sheepdog.
Mm.
While they're at work, they're pretending to be enemies. But when they go home, they say goodbye, Ralph, goodbye, Tom, or whatever. So they're actually partners in this game. So failure and success are the same thing. Failure will not let you get to success until you've achieved it over and over and conquered failure. You see, failure is actually the partner of success. So mm-hmm. I personally believe John C. Maxwell wrote a book called Failing Forward. Mm-hmm. So same ideology. Mm-hmm. You got to fail. You got to fail. You got to fail because that keeps you. And you learn. I personally believe we learn more by failing than we have success. Success, we get fat. We sit back. Say, oh, yeah, I did. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Whereas failure, you say, OK, what did I do wrong? What mistake? What did I not see? What did I not know then that I know now?
Mm-hmm.
That improves a person. That improves a person on whatever endeavor they're on. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's why I believe failure is key.
Mm-hmm. Do you have something you would like to share with our listeners as what failure can you look back on in your life that really mm-hmm. helped you to move forward?
Well, not achieving. I didn't graduate college.
Okay.
And so, again, that failure right there, I'm on a mission now that I'm going to start working on overcoming that. And that's going to be another program that I'll do with other people. But why I didn't finish college, and I know why, is because I didn't have any mentors during the time period.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that I needed more people to help
mm-hmm.
me finish college. So mm-hmm. that was a failure.
And you have not allowed that to hold you back still of pursuing your passion. Many times I actually have a friend who was applying for a job and she was saying, Adrian, but I don't have my degree. Adrian, I don't have my degree. And it was a customer service job. I said, but you have the experience and skill that they want. It's not the degree that defines you. So you apply for it. Don't allow yourself to hold you back from an opportunity of getting a job because you're the one that's holding that in front of you saying, I'm a failure, I'm a failure. You're not a failure. You continue to move forward. So that's nice that you didn't allow that to move forward. In one of your articles, you wrote, be selfish in developing the talents that lie within and then become selfless in sharing those same talents with the outside world. Can you talk about that?
I will. That's a part of the process by which a person goes from passion to purpose. He or she has to be selfish initially because selfish is about the person, the individual. Passions is about the individual. Perfect your craft. And that means taking time to do it over and over and over, you know, in your basement or what have you. Then you become selfless and sharing it with the outside world. Mm-hmm. And this is an example of it today. Me on the radio with y'all speaking is selfless. Because again, as I said, I've been reading, writing for years. Now I'm giving out. And I've held it in. I've done it for myself because I enjoy it. I enjoy it. So it's been about self. It's been about self and self. So at a point, it becomes, okay, do you want to have a little more significance and give it to other people? And that's the selfless part.
Mm-hmm. So maybe right now would be a great time to remind folks of the phone number. So to take advantage of Adolf's time here, if you have any questions that you would like to ask him about the concept of passion to purpose, any questions, maybe you are confronted with situation in your life and you would like to speak with him about that. The phone number is 503-231-8187. This is Brad Roses. We are waiting for your calls. So let us know if you have any questions. So, of course, the questions also becomes, how do I make money, mm-hmm. right? So you mentioned that there is a job that you do on a daily basis, which, you know, you're good at, some skills that you have. It's not your passion, however it pays the bill, but then you focus the rest of your free time on your passions. Talk about how those can merge at times and what are some of the steps that people can take to start exploring how they can make money out of things they love.
And that lends to my really strong part of passion and purpose is goal setting. Mm. Set big goals. I say set the biggest goals that you can. Because if your goal, when you set it, if people hear it and they don't think that it, you know, it can't be done, or they don't get excited or inspired by it, it's not a big enough goal. And if you set a great big goal, see, my goal along this journey has been to write a book. Mm. Now, I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm enjoying
That's
the ride.
That's exciting me.
Yeah, yeah.
So good.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm enjoying the ride. So I know when I write a book, uh-huh. the opportunity becomes, then I'll be able to make some money. Okay. But I'm enjoying the journey, as I said, but the goal is so great and big, it's okay, write a book. And so I say that if you set big goals, with today's technology we spoke about a while ago, you can sell, market anything that you do, mm-hmm. online, internet, or what have you, as far as being able to make money at it. People make money just by being famous. So there's, I don't think there's any passions, the creative passions that we have, whether it's art, whether it's writing, whether it's singing or what have you, that a person, they can make money at. Mm-hmm. The key is setting a big enough goal so that you have room in order to make that profitable for you.
Hmm. and so how about for folks who are wanting to explore ways to maybe get a career in that particular field. Let's say people feel they're, you know, super passionate about, you know, any kind of cause or any kind of areas, and they're looking in finding a job.
Yes. Well, again, if you look around and you go and you investigate other people who are making money at it, there's a multitude of people making money at all different type of passions, all different type of professions or what have you. And so if you study them, mm-hmm. And most of those guys, people, will give you knowledge and information. They love to give them back. People that become successful at a certain level, they love helping other people get to that that level as well, especially when they have the burning passion that they had as well, because mm-hmm. they know and understood what it took to get there. They knew, they understand the journey, so they're willing to help other people get there. So you just have to look at and identify people like that, mm-hmm. and say, okay, what did they do to get to where they are at now currently? And what do I have to do? And there's a map to get there. You just have to be willing to you know, go down the field and, you know, take that road.
So in talking about a map, mm-hmm. if you can tell us some ways that people can start researching. I know that there's obviously LinkedIn, but sometimes people don't understand the importance of things like that. So if you can give our listeners kind of a map, and then we're going to go on, because we do have a caller right after this.
Well, there's maps. Again, you talk about LinkedIn, the professional networks, obviously, you know, Twitter or what have you. But the one key thing is networking. Networking has really gotten me to where I'm at today, because you have to meet connectors and people who know people mm-hmm. who are doing things. And those guys, they will refer you in, you know, mm-hmm. no cold calling. It's being referred in. Mm-hmm. That's where you get in.
And I think that this is true of any. I feel like I'm a connector for anybody in the streets who tells me anything about radio or their passion about communicating. Then that's when I jump in and I become the connector. Hey, do you know of, you know, this opportunity? So, yeah, it is so true. And we have Michael on the line. Hello, Michael.
Hi.
Thank you for calling. What's your question?
I had a question. So earlier you talked about are there any opportunities where families can be an inspiration in your career path?
Inspiration in a career path.
Families? Is it? Yeah, yeah. Say
can you repeat your question, Michael? It's hard to hear.
Oh, I'm sorry. So earlier you talked about families being barriers. I'm wondering, can families also be...
Oh, yeah. Can family also contribute?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I try to inspire as many of my relatives and people I know as possible, because if they see where I came from, I came from where they came from. Mm. You know, I didn't, you know, I was challenged as well economically. And so families can be inspiring as well. The key is, what are people putting into you? I love for people that are encouragers, people that are, you know, want to say you can do this, you know, that want to help young people, help people in the same generations. That's key. You know, there can be family members that will inspire others as well.
Mm-hmm. How then do you inspire your family members as well? I feel that at times when... you know, we feel comfortable in our lives and, you know, we feel like very passionate and everything is kind of going for us. Sometimes it's hard for some of our family members that maybe are stuck in that, you know, daily routine. I'm focused on my goal, but not really enjoying the ride. How can you also mentor and support some of the folks in your family, you know, helping them also see that?
I guess the realization of telling them where you were and saying, okay, you see me working at this. You see me every day trying and being challenged by this. And you see me live that I'm, you know, failing forward. I'm trying this as well. And being honest to where you were at. And again, as I said, saying, hey, I was here. I could have been here. But because I didn't do this, this is why I'm here now. Mm-hmm. However, I have more opportunity, more confidence that I can get to where I want to get to. And that's a day-to-day work at it. And that's the way you can to inspire family members and just have those conversations. Mm-hmm. And to encourage each other and to lift everyone up.
Thank you, Michael, for your question.
Thank you so much.
And if you are just now tuning in, you are listening to KBOO Portland, and we are continuing to have a great conversation with Adolf Evans on Passion to Purpose. So I know you say your goal is to write a book, and it's a big goal, mm-hmm. which is an awesome goal. You actually talk about expanding yourself, that in order to, you know, have a goal, it is when you tell someone, you hope to inspire them. And if they're not inspired, you haven't gone big enough. So it's great. What have you learned thus far on your writing in this writing project?
Well, again, as I've learned about setting a big goal, is that with a big goal, you need a lot of help. And that's a good thing about it. You need partners. Partners are key. If the goal is big enough, it will allow you room for partners. You know, if you set a goal so small, there's not any room for partners. But the goal is big enough, then partners, they can come in and help. And that's what you need. And I know that in order for me to fulfill my goal of writing this book, I will need partners in this down the road.
So who have, I know you have even partners now, who have been your partners?
What kind of partners? Partners? What are they supporting you with?
Oh, well, I need a scribe, you know, a person that can write a lot, because I, you know, I can talk a lot. I talk faster than I can write. And I need an editor. I've had editors in the past to edit my articles. A lot of my colleagues of mine, they've edited articles, Nancy and Agnes and other people. And that's what I'm looking at down the road, more scribes and more editors. And then also, then I'll need a, you know, PR person. Mm-hmm. Again, that's why it's great to have a big goal, because, you know, I can write articles myself, but to write a book, I need a lot of help.
And it will also be challenging to you, right?
It'll be challenging.
It's your passion, but it's also something that will build up your skills.
And, yeah. And it's fun because then I have partners.
Yes.
And it's always good to have partners.
Right. I think we all grow together.
That's true.
Well, we have another call on the line. Robert. Hello, Robert. How are you? Robin.
Oh, Robin.
Sorry, Robin.
How are you, Robin?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for calling, Robin. What's your question?
Well, Adolf, I've read a number of your blogs on the series that you've been doing for Passions and Purpose. Have seen just a number of things that I just absolutely love. And
thank you.
And I'm thinking, after listening to the last caller, I'm wondering if the true happiness and joy part kind of answered it for me. So my second thought would be, where did this all come from to begin with?
Yeah.
You've had a job, you know, for a lifetime. So was it just you needed to fulfill this, and your fear, you overpowered your fear, or what happened to do this for you that made you start seeking this out and doing what you do?
Thanks, Robin, for the question. Again, I think 2004, I was very empty as far as life fulfillment. And I look at it, and I've always thought about legacy. Legacy is key, and that's how I related to that sandwich story a while ago. That's always been key for me, legacy. And what are you giving, you know? And I was to a point where I wasn't giving anything because I didn't have anything to give. Mm-hmm. Again, working in, as Robin spoke about, I've been working for years, so I've never not worked. It's just the fulfillment piece. It's like, okay, what is empty and what do I need to do? And so I like writing. I like inspiring. I like having conversation. I like, you know, that's why I love history. I love to understand who people are, where we all come from, how we get along, how can we better get along, how can we improve upon the time that we have here, because it is limited. Mm-hmm. And that's why sandwich is key, is I have to be the best sandwich I can be for my people while I'm here. And with that, I knew that I had to give something. And the writing has been the outlet by which I'm able to give. And that's key, because I think a lot. I'm very analytical as well. So but the passion piece is that, okay, I can put words together. And that came from being trained how to write in high school.
Mm-hmm. You are a very interesting individual.
Thank you, Robin.
Very, very interesting. I enjoy listening to you, and, you know, you kind of inspire all of us. You know, somebody that's, you know, reaching retirement age, but it's good to hear what you have to say to even keep those that are, you know, in the older years looking to the future. Mm-hmm. What can we give? It really, it makes perfect sense. It does.
Thank you, Robin.
I will continue to listen and read what you write, so I appreciate you much.
I appreciate you much as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin, for calling. If you are interested and you have a question, whether specific or general about your personal situation, Adolf is here to answer it. The phone number is 503-231-8187. It was very meaningful, the story that you share and the question that Robin had and the follow-up to it, because I feel that it's hard at times to feel the fulfillment, right? And legacy, I think it's a question that we all ask ourselves. And I think that within the society in which we live, there's some very limited ways that we can feel fulfilled, in part because we do have to work a lot in order to sustain ourselves. Mm-hmm. But would you talk a little bit more about that, the age piece, right? When is it too late to explore your passion? and how early should you start?
Well, in part of my writings, I wrote one time, it's never too late. Mm-hmm. And I said, don't let a late start deter you from reaching your dreams and goals. And, you know, drive towards your goals by using your passions as the vehicle. And that's where I'm at. I mean, I'm in my late 40s. So ultimately, again, I'm not letting a late start deter me. Mm-hmm. And the realization is, as I said earlier, had I known this 30 years ago, then I'd have been a lot further along. So my goal also is to help teach young people to follow their passions early on, what they really are passionate about more than what they're good at and what people are, you know, steering them to because to make money or whatever. But again, don't let a late start. I mean, you have examples like Colonel Sanders, other people throughout history who have done things later in their life. And as you said a minute ago, Delphine, it's you, when you, the older we get, the more we understand legacy piece and more we realize that, okay, have I done enough? Mm-hmm. Meaning, not a financial point, have I given enough?
Yeah.
And that's key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? And all this wealth that mm-hmm. you've been accumulating, mm-hmm. passing it on, mm-hmm. all the knowledge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have Agnes on the phone. Hello, Agnes. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
What's your question?
Oh, I love your, hi Adolf, are you there?
Yeah, hi Agnes.
Hi. I love your last blog on 10 times goals, and I have your t-shirt with 10 times goals on the back.
Thank you, Agnes.
can you give us an example of the difference between a 2 times goal and a 10 times one?
Yes. Thanks, Agnes. Thanks for the call. And the difference between a 2 times and a 10 times goal, how I relate it is that my example a while ago for college, I had all along the desire to go to college. I remember as a young person, I said, I want to go to college. I want to go to college. I want to go to college. However, I realize now I never, ever, I mean ever, sat down and said, I will graduate college. I never had that in the goal. Mm-hmm. I knew it. I knew it from day one. I'm going to college. I'm going to college. I'm going to college. Mm-hmm. That's a 2 times goal. Mm-hmm. I got to college, but I did not graduate because I never set the goal to graduate. So ultimately, that's an example of a 2 times to 10 times. I needed a lot of help, and that's a 10 times piece. And I didn't know that when I was 17, 18 years old. So thanks. That's the difference between a 2 times and a 10 times goal.
Got it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Thank you, Agnes. Yes. And so how do we, as we are setting our goals, how do we do that? Mm-hmm. Think, you know, what is the actual goal?
Yeah. The key thing is the goal that's too low is, can I do this by myself? Can I accomplish this goal by myself? Yes. Then that's too low. Do I need help? That's maybe mid-range. Do I need a whole lot of help? That's probably the 10 times piece. But see, that's where, again, you open up a lot of room for partners and you open up a lot of room for a long journey. And then you open up a lot of room for people who you don't know and circumstances that you cannot see right now that will come into existence. You see, that's the key.
Yeah, you talk about influencers, so
yes,
that's what you're
doing. That's what happens is these people, mm-hmm. it's like a train. You know the train, you know, train has these signals as you're going down the track. So a train goes down the track, signals. And then as you get to a certain point, I don't know all the engineering piece of it. After you get a certain point, then the signal says, do this or whatever. This comes up. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Until you go down the track a little bit, you don't know who's out there. You don't know what circumstances out there that's there. They're sitting at their dormant, waiting for you to come down the track, waiting for you to have a goal that's big enough, waiting for you to go down the field. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you get within a certain point, then they rise up and they raise up or they come into existence or they come into your view. Say, hey, I hear you doing this. How can I help you with that? Mm-hmm. You see, but you didn't see them when you first start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it sounds also for me that you are supporting other people's passion by doing that, right? Because you are like, okay, this is my passion. I'm putting it out there. And then you're encountering or you're being connected to other folks who, you know, have for passion to maybe support what your passion is. And then it's just kind of this huge community building possibility as well.
Yes. I'm working with a friend, a colleague of mine named Yui Truong. It's D-U-Y Truong. And he is a great photographer. And he's a great dynamic graphic artist. And he's a young guy in his early 30s. And so, again, he's coming alongside. And I want to inspire him to do well. So, again, same way with y'all and other people. That's the inspiration to say my desire is to help as many people fulfill their passion and purpose as well by writing and encouraging. Because, again, I think we all can play a part and we all can partner and show up well and help each other.
I really appreciate that your audience is everyone, but that you really want to make a special focus on youth.
Mm-hmm.
I actually just went to Oregon State University last Friday to speak to a graduating class at the Educational Opportunities Program, and it really was. I told them it's about finding their passion to purpose and figuring out who are they? What do they like? And, you know, really told them that there are a couple of different personality assessments that they can take, of which when I took when I was younger, it just really helped me to see what my strengths were. It told me more about myself than I even realized or recognized. Some people don't like the assessments, but that's all it is. It's not a test. It's an assessment. And, you know, whether it's the Myers-Briggs or the core values assessment, it really could help them at a beginning stage of their life and their career, figure out who they are so that they can start really plowing forward to find out what they would like to do and really put their energy and effort. I like the questions that you actually ask. It's in the Ujima magazine, the article on Embrace Your Community. You say, what are you passionate about? What would you do for free? What are some of your internal creative expressions yearning to be released and shared with others? What do you do in your, you don't say pastime. I notice that. You say, what do you do in your passion time? You say, name and claim your passion time daily. As it says with build it and they will come. If we pursue our passions, our goals will follow. That's just amazing and awesome. Have you had people actually write in, or whether it's your blog, and talk to you about these questions and answer?
Yes, I have. Again, a good colleague of mine, he and I dialogue. Paul, we always have conversations, very stimulating, about passions and, again, how do you approach them and what does that look like? And, again, as I said, I believe if you go down the field, if you set goals, again, they'll follow. The passions will show up. Down this process, I realized about writing, the best thing I like about the writing is interviewing. Again, if I can just interview folks and record it and put it somewhere on TV or something, that's all I would do.
You guys don't see us here in the room.
You gotta be on KBOO.
Yes.
Because I'll be honest with you, when I get down to write it, I say, okay, now I gotta write this story. Okay. How do I put it together? Again, I have like 10 interviews on audio and 6 on CDs that I've saved, and I listen to those over and over and over and over again. And key, and so that's why, again, as I've approached this, because again, I grew up writing, I love interviewing the best. Just having those conversations and just engaging with people. So
imagine yourself here in the KBOO.
That's what I was going to say. Be open to your passions showing up. There's the reason why you're here tonight.
You hear that, listeners? Perhaps, he's here for an interview, but you don't know where it's going to lead, right?
And we are playing the networkers here.
Exactly. Wonderful.
And, you know, we're going to run out of time in a few minutes. I'd love if you could talk a little bit more about where you're going with this project. What's next for you? What are you excited and passionate about right now, or any passions you're wanting to explore?
Well, again, I'm working on a project, and it's going to be other people's stories, how they go from passion to purpose. And again, my guy Yui, we're going to be working on the photography piece and the outline, the paper, trying to create, put it in some magazine. We'll see who opens up for that. But key is telling other folks' stories. Again, that's why I love telling other people's stories. And so that's what I'm currently working on right now. And the book will come in the future as well. And as Adrian said, I will start looking at the youth more, because again, 30 years ago, I could have done some of these things. I didn't understand it. And my desire is to help young people, especially, to do it and don't have to wait till they hit their 40s before they kind of figure it all out. And so that's those are some of the areas I'll be working with. I'll be working with some organizations with youth. Go ahead.
So I want to ask about the book. You say in the future, but have you given yourself that 10 times goal as to when that's going to come out?
Well, see, the thing about 10 times goal, too, is you don't have to have set a deadline. And as I said, I think what's shown and what's been fun is that different people have showed up. And partners have showed up. And I've embraced that. As you talk about embracing your community, I've embraced that. Partners showing up as they show up and not putting the, you know, cart before the horse, or whatever they call it, the old analogy. I've been letting people show up and partner as they show up. And the book will come. And but if I can help a multitude of people prior to the book coming out, then I'm fine with that as well.
Mm-hmm. just enjoying the ride.
I'm enjoying the ride. Exactly. Yes.
Exactly. So what questions have we not asked that you would really like to share with our listeners?
Well, not really questions. I think that you and the callers have asked a lot of great questions, and I just want to leave you with some pieces, some emotional pieces, perhaps, and some thoughts about passions and about legacy. A couple of them here.
We have a couple minutes.
Yes, two of them. The first one is, don't cheat the world of its reward. It needs you to fill it with the greatness that's stored inside of you. That's passion, the purpose.
Nice.
Yeah, it needs you. And the other one is, you know, you talk about work and passions and what that looks like in legacy. It says, your defined worker career is limited by a certain time period and is validated by wages. However, your life's work, which incorporates your passions and purpose, will last forever and be validated by its profits to you and others. That's the more meaningful piece.
That's such a beautiful piece to end on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I like how you have here, I think just to tag along, you have, if you can't figure out your purpose, figure out your passion, for your passion will lead you directly to your purpose.
I agree.
There you go. Thank you for joining us tonight,
Adolf.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. Thank you for the time.
And thank you to all of our listeners and for those that called in. Great questions. Connect with Bread and Roses on KBOO website at kboo.fm/Bread and Roses, where you can access our podcast and share feedback and show ideas. Like us on Facebook, and we are here KBOO Portland Bread and Roses.
Well, next week, host Mary Postaway brings you a very special show. She is going to interview some of us, Bread and Roses Collective members, in her kitchen table conversations. You'll find out who we are, where we come from, and what brought us to this feminist collective. Have a great week, everyone, and stay tuned for Heart Knock Radio news and views from a hip-hop perspective.
We'll leave you tonight with the song called Conga by Gloria Estefan. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Queer women recently released from Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, where we were in a program called the Family Preservation Project, which helped our children stay connected to us and taught us how to parent.
The Department of Correction chose to cancel the Family Preservation Project. Tune in to Prison Pipeline to hear how you can help us flip the switch on DOC's decision. Please support Senate Bill 939, which addresses the needs of children with incarcerated moms.
That's Prison Pipeline, June 22nd at 6:30 p.m.